Hello. First thing I want to do is just to say thank you very much for coming. I was in my room at the time that they were doing the keynote, and when they did the Oprah moment of, hey, everybody, you're getting Kinects. And oh, by the way, we now have these special sessions about Windows Phone we never told you about. I was like, oh, am I really going to talk to five people? Maybe I'll just bring them up here and we'll have a little campfire talk. So I truly do appreciate that you're willing to come out for something I think is pretty cool. So what I want to talk to you today is about something called CSS3 Media Queries. I just started my new role. I'm an HTML5 and IE9 evangelist 2 months ago. And I started kind of looking around to see, like, what was sort of cool? Because if you ever kind of look at, you know, what we normally talk about and the things we demo, we always show the fish demo, right? We love the fish, you know. Oh, we'll add 2 million fish, and look how great they do, and compare it to other browsers. And I'm kind of one of those kind of hipster ethos type people who always wants to find the mutt, right? Like when I go to the pound, you know, everyone's going like, oh, the cute chihuahua. And I'm like, you know, I like the mutt over there that's scratching that barely has any hair. I'm like, oh, that dog's got character. So I was kind of looking for that as well. So the first thing that you always do when you start becoming the IE evangelist is you go to the test drive. And I'm kind of clicking things, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is cool. There's fish, there's speed demos, there's graphic stuff. And that's all kind of nice and stuff. And I went to this HTML5 demos list, and I saw CSS3 media queries. And I was like, oh, that sounds pretty boring. So I'll go ahead and take a look at it. And what was kind of interesting was I actually took my browser and I actually started resizing the browser. And I noticed that, like, oh, it's actually responding to the size of my browser. I'm like, this is kind of cool, because I had been kind of following the cool kids in the web standard space, and they've all been talking about sort of responsive design, that our design shouldn't be sort of this fixed regimented thing that we normally see, but they should be able to respond to it. And I was like, wow, this is kind of cool. I found this kind of little thing that I love. And so when they came to me and said, hey, we've got this mini session, what would you like to talk about? I said, let's talk about CSS3 media queries. So it was kind of a love story in the making. Now, CSS3 media queries allows you to kind of create this responsive design. But you can't show responsive design without showing kind of the anti-pattern to this. So I'm actually going to be a little self-deprecating here, and I'll show you my blog, A Simple Pixel, at Tumblr. Now, unfortunately, because of the kind of the technical difficulties, you're not seeing in its full glory. But if you look at it normally on a desktop, you'll see that there's a lot of white space in my blog. I just basically signed up, picked a default thing. That wasn't a design intentional thing. It was just something that happened there. And if you look, you can notice here, for example, that, you know, when I bring in the, you know, the screen a bit, it doesn't respond favorably. It just, you get scroll bars and things like that, and nobody wants to see, you know, scroll bars and stuff like that. Also, if I go and I take a look, you know, I thought, well, it's kind of cool because I'm really, really focused in on content and things like that. But if I go in and I look at the developer tools, and I'll just go ahead and pop the developer tools here, there's actually a little tool that you can use, which is the ruler. And I'm just going to go ahead and select the ruler, and you'll notice here, or hopefully you'll be able to notice on the screen, that here across the screen I'm at about 983 pixels. Typically on my laptop I'm at about 1280. If I look at how much of my content, how much size of the content I'm actually using, you see here that I'm using about 510. So I'm actually, for the most important thing of the blog, because I don't have a responsive experience, I'm using only, like, half of the space that is available to me. So this isn't really good example of responsive design. And I promise you that I will be adding media queries to my blog. But I want to show you some people that actually did it right. So, for example, Simon Collison is a really amazing web designer, and he was one of sort of the first people that started using CSS3 media queries on his own blog. So you could see here that he's got it, you know, he's got different categories and components of his blog. And basically what he did was he implemented CSS media query so that as someone who has a smaller screen, we'd actually be able to see it respond appropriately. So here you can see he goes down to two columns, and then if we go down to what you would normally see like on a mobile device or on a much smaller device, he actually goes down to one. So as I started playing around with this, I really started realizing like, wow, you know, for designers and front-end web developers, we really need to start looking at this feature because it's a pretty cool thing to help us, again, keep very responsive design. Now, here's an example of a website I think that did a really great job. This is the Sasquatch Music Festival. And you notice here that what they do is they use the entire screen to show information, but still have a very great layout. So here at the top, you see a very large, well-drawn header. Here you see a large nav, then you see these parts here to find out more information. You can see the different people in the lineup, and then also they have their blog on here and all kind of appropriately, you know, with its line height and things like that. Now, if again we pull it in, let me go ahead and scroll up here. If we pull it in, you'll notice that it'll start, again, responding to the size. And so here, for example, what they've done is they've actually done a lot of sort of CSS trickery so that they focus just on the things that are important. So notice that they got rid of a lot of the stuff that was in their nav that was useless, although they do make sure that the store is there and the schedule is there. Also, the header image was actually replaced with a smaller one that was more conducive to a smaller viewport and screen. So these guys did a really great job of using media queries, again, to keep things very responsive. Now, why all of a sudden have we got excited about responsive design and mostly CSS3 media queries? Well, it was because if you think about for, you know, a few years ago, and even probably till today, we pretty much viewed the web as something coming through the desktop browser. If you talk to my in-laws, they truly believe that the web is this little E. And so whenever they go to the web, they're like, oh, I went to the E on my desktop, which, you know, Internet Explorer. Then what happened was there was sort of this kind of, you know, nice little renaissance where now what we do is we view the web in all different kinds of ways. I just read an article that was saying that the mobile view of the web is going to surpass the desktop view like really shortly, like within 12 months. I'm sure you can probably find a statistic out there that says that it's already today. We have different form factors like tablets and iPads and phones, television. You know, people surf the web on their television. Even the refrigerators they have now actually have IP built into them and web stuff, which is, you know, pretty amazing stuff. So why is it that media queries is actually the answer to some of this responsive design? It's because what CSS3 media queries does that we haven't really been doing before is it really goes after the precise device capabilities. So instead of saying, hey, you're using an iPhone, or hey, you're using a desktop browser, instead what it does is it says, I don't know what the actual identity of the device is, but I do know certain things about it. And what I will allow you to do is to query for that, and then you can apply your styling based on it. So here's a simple example of putting together a media query. You first start off with a media rule that you'll stick probably in your style sheet, and we'll talk about other places you can put it. You'll give it a media type. This is probably not new to people. You've probably seen the screen media type. You've probably seen the print media type. If you go to the HTML5 spec, you'll actually see there's a television media type, which is kind of interesting. But then what really makes it powerful is where you see this media feature, where what you can do is you can interrogate the device and say, if your maximum width is 600 pixels, then go ahead and apply these set of styles. So here, for example, you can see that if something is under 600 pixels, we're actually going to change the font size of the body to 80%. Now, You can do other types of syntax as well. So you can go ahead and combinize, if that's a word, these by saying things like, for example, I want to see if this screen is between 320 pixels and 480 pixels. You can also use not syntax as well. So you can say, hey, if this is not of a print type, then go ahead and do this. As well as for media, you can say, I want to make basically all media based on the max width of 600 pixels and then go do this. And then you can actually combine media queries as well. So you can say this media query and this media query, then go ahead and do this styling. And we can actually declare these in a style sheet where I think that it makes the most sense. But you can also use import rules and link elements. The one thing I would say is you might want to stay away from the link element because you are making another HTTP request. So what you'll find is probably 9 times out of 10, putting it in the style sheet is going to be the appropriate thing. There's also a big set of supported media properties that you can play around with. The ones you see bolded here, the 6, those are probably the biggest ones that the ones you'll use the most. There are things like monochrome, so you can say, hey, does this use a monochrome device? Then do this. If you have some reason why that's important to you, please afterwards let me know because I've been struggling to find what that would be. So we've talked about enough, we've been in slides enough, so let's go ahead and take a look at an actual example. So this is a sample website out of an amazing, amazing book, and at the end I'm going to tell you what that amazing book is. And no, it's not a book that I wrote or something like that. But what they did was they basically put together this little bakery site. That again is responsive. So unfortunately, one of the things that you wouldn't be able to see because it's not big enough. But if you had a large screen, you would actually see that the navigation was in the first column, and then in the second column, you have your information or your main content along with these three subcolumns, and then you have sort of this third column here. But again, if we do sort of the magical, you know, bringing the size down, you'll notice a few things. One is that, you know, when we get to a certain point, we actually put the navigation below, or we flow the navigation below the Little Pete Bakery logo. We also do a little bit of change on the text, as well as if you notice that we've now gone from a 3-column layout for the actual items, and we've gone to this more row-based look. And even at some point, you'll notice that the images themselves will actually pop into these smaller images. So let's go ahead and take a look at that code. And again, we can look at that code in the F12 developer tools. If you have IE9 and you haven't played with the developer tools, you absolutely must do it. You must hit F12. There's a lot of great stuff in there, and I would say that about 90% of the questions that we get of, hey, why isn't this working, we're able to figure out just via these tools. So they're pretty cool. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you the script, and I'm going to apologize in advance because there are some probably big no-nos that we wouldn't normally do, like including script in the HTML file itself. We'd actually put in a different style sheet. But we're going to forgive that now, and we're just going to basically look at some of the things that we want to talk about. So one of the things that we do is, or you'll notice here for this sample, is that we have the media queries in the script. This would normally be in a style sheet. And what we do is we actually put it at the bottom of the style sheet, because the thing about media queries is that it actually adheres to the principles of CSS cascading. So what happens is that media queries, if you change a style of something that's already been styled above here, it'll go ahead and replace that style. So you'll typically find that most people will want to put those media queries down at the bottom. And here, for example, you can see where they've set up a media query that says, hey, if the screen width is more than 1,200 pixels, then go ahead and style in this particular way. If we scroll down a little further, We can see that here they've gone ahead and done the same thing, but now they're looking at a max width of 760 pixels. Which, because what happens is that if we're between 760 and 1200, the first query will be false, so it says, oh, I'm not going to style anything then. But it'll go ahead and do this. And that 760 pixels, the reason why it was magically selected was because iPads, that's usually their resolution. Then when we go down a little further and we get to 550 pixels, you'll notice here that in the sample that they actually went ahead and got different sized pings for the icon. So they went from 128 to 64. And again, if I can just give another shout out to the F12 developer tools, one of the things that you can do is you can actually see this in action when you're testing. So for example, what I'll do is I'll go to the network tab. I'm going to go ahead and refresh. And then I'm also going to go ahead and clear the browser cache from the tools. And then what you'll notice is that when I'm starting to go ahead and bring in the width. So I purposefully put in that I wouldn't start capturing so that I would see if the audience was awake. So I'm going to go ahead and do this again to make sure that clear browser cache. And yes, we are going to hit that start capturing button that is ever so important if you want to look at the network. So we'll go ahead and do this again. And you notice, boom, here at the bottom, I'll go ahead and magnify it a little bit, that we actually are pulling in those now 64-bit images instead. So again, this is a very cool tool to use as you're trying to figure out, hey, what's going on with my media query? Why is it not working the way that that I expect? Now, the thing is that when people think about media queries, they think a lot about mostly devices, because one of the things that we want to do is we want to try to make it easier to build these things. So instead of building a different website for every different mobile platform, instead what we'd like to do is just to say, hey, again, what is the device capabilities, and then give style the page appropriately. Now, there's a dirty little secret about devices, in that when you ask the browser, hey, what is the width of the browser, it's honest. It tells you, hey, I'm 1280 or I'm 550 or what have you. Devices, they lie. They don't necessarily tell you exactly what it is. And you go, well, gosh, why would devices lie to me? Because I always trust these devices, especially when they take over. Well, the thing is that if you notice whenever you bring up a website in a browser, notice how it kind of scrunches everything for you and puts it all on one page so that it kind of looks like, hey, I've got the full page. So what it will try to do is sometimes trick these pages into believing that, oh, it's actually much smaller or much bigger. Now, the thing that happens is that this is what normally happens when you start doing media queries, is you'll start putting them in, you'll test it out in Internet Explorer or any of the other browsers that support it, and most of the browsers do. But what you'll find is you'll go and your media query won't fire off, and you'll be like, well, what the heck just happened? The way to get around that is within your page, you can actually implement this viewport meta tag, and it's basically meta name equals viewport. But then what you want to do is you want to take the content attribute and specify width equals device width. And then what this does is this forces the browser to say, oh, okay, this is really my true sizing, and you will actually start seeing your media queries actually working again. And so here, for example, let's go back to our sample. We'll go to the script, and again, for those sitting in the back, I apologize for all the jumping and making anyone nauseous. Here you can see that this is just a simple meta tag put in here. The content is width equals device width, and then you also see maximum scale equal to 1. And so you might say, well, why am I going to add that? And the reason why is because if you've ever used a phone, you'll notice that there's a portrait mode and a landscape mode. And what you would assume is, well, in portrait mode, my width is 320 pixels. When I turn it over, it's 480 or 420. Well, what happens is phones actually don't do that. What they do is they just go, oh, no, I'm still 320 pixels, but just go ahead and magnify me. And so what happens is that magnification, again, skews what the media query can query, and you basically get something that's broken. So by putting in that maximum scale 1.0, it says, hey, don't go ahead and do that magic scaling for me. Keep it there so that my media query will actually plug in and work. So again, it's kind of the CD side of device development and media queries. Now, the question, of course, with all of this stuff is always, what do I do about non-supportive browsers, particularly those of the IE ilk? There is a gentleman named Wouter van der Graaf, I hope I've said it right, that wrote this really cool JavaScript tool. And you can Bing it or Google it. It's css3-mediaqueries.js. And all you literally do is you include this script in your page. And what it will do is it will go ahead and interrogate your CSS media queries and just handle it through JavaScript. So, like I said, it's JavaScript. You know, it's not going to be, you know, native HTML5 like we've heard a lot of people talking about. But it does the trick, and it does it fairly well. So definitely use that if you plan on supporting other browsers. The other thing for CSS media queries, these are the things that you can kind of restyle based on those. So for example, if you know you're working for a mobile device, you know you need a little more of a hit ratio on buttons and things. So you can actually go in and say, oh, because I know that I'm doing this mobile device, I need to make that touch area bigger. Also text. Text is hugely important. I can always sort of tell when someone's first starting out with media queries because they basically move everything around and they get it in one column, but the text is usually too small or way too big. So one of the things that you really, for the designers in the room, is you need to think about, hey, what is this text going to need to, how am I going to need to restyle this text so that it looks good? I would look at the Sasquatch code again because I think they do a good job of it. Also, we talked about image swapping that you saw earlier. And you can do cool things like customize your own print styling. Now, the thing is that people will say, oh, great, now that I have media queries, I'm doing the responsive design thing, the cool web standards kids will like me, and it just fixes everything. And the answer is actually no, it's one piece of the puzzle. So if you were paying attention during the keynote yesterday, you probably heard about Flexbox and Grid and things like that. You'll actually be using those things as a part of this. So don't think of this as a, hey, as long as I do this, that I'm good. There's also going to be times where if you're just doing these amazingly complex and tricky things, you may have to just go with a pure mobile site. So, you know, my suggestion to you is use this when it's appropriate, but don't kind of, you know, go back and think, ah, well, we've got it all figured out because we just got to use these media queries. Now, the thing is that, you know, there's kind of some math involved as you've got all these kind of devices and stuff that are out there. What I recommend you do is to go to Andy Clark's website, Hardboiled, and you can do a search on Hardboiled CSS3 Media Queries, and he actually has a style sheet, which I'll bring up for you, that he has already put together. We'll open it up in Expression Web 4 so you can see it. And what you can do is you can literally just cut and paste this in, and he's already built everything for you. It's Creative Commons, so you can use it however you like. But it starts off with the smartphones, goes to iPads, goes to desktop and laptops, large screens, and then even goes into high pixel ratio devices like the iPhone 4. So you can just grab this and throw it into your style sheets, and it just works. So that makes life much easier when you're playing around with these. If you're having trouble sleeping, go to the W3C and download the CSS3 media query spec. I can guarantee you will have absolutely no problem getting sleep after reading that. This is the book that I absolutely can't recommend enough. Zoe Mickley Gillenwater wrote this book. And she has a chapter just on media queries, but she also talks about some of the things we talked about in the keynotes, including multi-column, flex layouts, and things like that. She covers the gamut of CSS3 stuff, but also what she does is she gets into the details, right? I mean, we've all read the books that sort of say, here's how this works, and then they go on to the next thing. She actually talks about, hey, here's how we styled like the nav differently based on where we're at and why. Just an incredible, incredible book. When you buy the book, you also get that bakery site and all the code for it free. So I can't recommend enough. I don't get paid by Zoe or whoever put out this book, but it's an amazing, amazing book, and it should be the very next book that you buy. There's also a really cool site, and I'm such a geek, I guess, because if you go to media queries with the .es, it's nothing but a blog of websites that use media queries. And you'll literally be just sitting there moving your browser window back and forth. And what's now funny is whenever I go to websites that are kind of like modern websites, the first thing I always do is I start moving the window back and forth to see like, oh, is it using media queries? And then finally, thank you very much for spending this short amount of time. I'm sorry that we've kind of ran out of time here. I'm getting the 00 and the plug. But I'm going to stick around for a little bit to answer any questions. And please, please, please start playing around with media queries. I think you're going to think it's really cool. Thank you.